promised land. Why? We thank God for Joshua Caleb. Amen.
Amen.
Those two guys, they said, listen, they tore their clothes, they ripped their clothes as a sign of humility and repentance. They said, listen, we, the Lord has given us the land. He told us it's ours. Let's go up at once and take it. The Bible says, because of unbelief, you know what? Many churches and people never, ever reach their potential because they measure situation by the reason. Oh, God, help us to start seeing. Through the lens of God. Think about that. Boy, I have heard it this morning. You're not listening back up. You know, a preacher preaches as fast as y'all listen. You ever thought about that? Hey, think about that giant. Remember the children's becoming that giant? I think he grew 2 inches today. But old David shows up and says, hey, what are you guys afraid of? That's just that. God didn't take care of him. They were looking at the situation from their resources. Throughout the scripture, that bears it out. But secondly, the second principle is important. You got to realize that only the Lord can take your little and make it much. See, God is not looking for your great mouth or your great faith. He's looking for your little faith in the great God.
Amen.
He's looking for you to say, listen, I think we can do this. We've got help. The man only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but he gave all that he had. And throughout the scripture, this bears it out. We have realized the Lord can take their little and turn it into much. Samson took the jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 listening church. Think about it. Aren't you glad he did that? Because you showed God to take a little and turn it into much. How about David? He faced that giant with his 5 square stones. He only needed one of them. Because David didn't kill a giant. God killed a giant. You got it in 1 Samuel 17. He by faith trusted God. How about Jehoshaphat, who 3 armies are coming to his camp? It's that Chronicles 20. But he didn't measure. He fasted and prayed. And the Lord said to him by the prophet, he said, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And listen to me, big church. Some of you can hear this. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. He can take your little and turn it into much. You must not measure a situation by your resources. How about Moses? All he had was rock. And the Lord said, put it down. Exodus 3. And he puts it down. Exodus 3 and 4 in there. He puts it down and does the same. Now, I don't know about you. I will start running when I do it. Amen? I don't like snakes. I can tell you that right now. I don't like snakes. And to tell you, there's a snake I saw. I looked down on the front porch when we were in the marsh at the first Baptist. And there's a snake, probably about 6 foot, came up on our front porch. It came underneath the little chair we had there. And I went out of it to kill it. I was afraid to kill it. Thank God for our neighbor, Mr. Baker. He had our neighbor Baker. He came over to prepare a snake for me. I didn't take care of the snake. I'm not the only pastor that's a snake handler, by the way, so don't worry about that. But thank God, he picked it up and he came to the rod of God. And it was with that rod he put down and parted the Red Sea. It was with that rod he struck the rock and water came forth. It was that rod that he stood up at the top of the hill and he held it and Joshua was down there. Down there. God used the rod of God. Moses' rod became God's rod. And listen to me today. You got to throw down what you have. Your life can become God's life. And when it becomes God's life, he can do so much more with it than you can.
Amen.
Well, there's that time to tell you about Waymo, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How about Elijah? One of his 450 prophets of Baal. Say, how about Gideon?
Yeah.
He had 32,000 mighty men. He gave them in and said, hey, any of you guys that want to go home can. The FB Baptist said, they all went home. 22,000 of us. They followed the invitation to go home. Only left 10,000. God said, you sure have too many. And And then we got the water. He said, Gene, I have to get down and drink water up the mountain and take him. We got 300 men to get 135,000 Indianites. Read about it in Judges 6, 7, 8. He was a judge, by the way. Then God teaches the deliver people of God. Throughout the scripture, we find it out. And then thirdly, we got to rejoice that the Lord always gives us more than we expect. Aren't you glad he does that? I kind of have an idea. When Elijah called down fire from heaven, in that 63-word prayer of 1 Kings 18, he built an altar, and there were 12 barrels of water on that altar on the wood. And my voice out, but I'm against our wood with sweat. He had done everything that God said. He prayed the 63-word prayer, and fire came down from heaven, consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice, licked up all the water, licked up the dust, and all the people fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord is the God. The Lord is the God." And I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day. All of us will fall on our faces and say, "God, you're God, and you can do whatever you want." Guys had 12 bicycles left over. Why didn't they do 12? I think they were 12 because the Lord will never look at the disciples and make that message and say, "Wow."
Amen.
God did that. They couldn't say me, they said God did that. Weren't you glad?
Amen.
It's a miracle, the message. He goes on and tells them about that. By the way, in chapter 6, he also walks on the water for the disciples. 35, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." This is the first great I am of the seventh dimension of the gospel of God. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me never shall thirst again." We have some of you here today that you're hungry. You're looking for something. You can look for it in different things, maybe in relationships. Remember the woman that fell? She had 5 husbands, and she was living with a man at that time. But Jesus said, "I can have heart and never thirst again." Remember the man that was lame for 38 years? But Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." You remember the nobleman who lived that last Sunday? What did he do? His son was at the point of death. He pled for Jesus to come and heal him. Jesus didn't go over there, but what did he do? He heard the word that God said, and he believed. He acted upon that word. He had a conviction, and he went. Guess what? At the same hour, Jesus said, "His servant said, his son is healed." Wow. Now, he said, "Brother, how does that apply to us?" Well, last Sunday, I cast a vision to the church, the leadership of the church, that we remodeled. We've done a lot of things. It's time for us to remodel this auditorium. We dedicated before I came here this auditorium in 1996, in April 28, 1996. We need to put it all in the carpet. We need to redo all these walls with popcorn. We're going to have all that straight off. We're going to have it all done up, repainted, everything repainted. We're going to have all new. And what we talked about last Sunday is we looked at the price of pews and the price of chairs, and by the way, chairs are half the price of pews. You realize that? So we talked and said, "Hey, we can do this for $75,000. We're going to redo the bathrooms in here, put in new partitions. We're going to put any glass doors in front of the church. We're going to do some work in the fire room and the tech's office. We're going to put carpet all around here, all the way across this and down the hall here." Brother Ricky finally came up with a final bid, and that bid was $1,000 for San Francisco, comes up to $74,144. I said, "Wow, that's a lot of money to do here." Guess what? We have a great God. This week, we had someone come to this office here, and they gave a check to the church for $100,000. Let me tell you something. God laid it up on your heart for the pastor. you know I am. We're crazy. But he had on my heart, you know what? We had our bus in the Gibson bus for 3 times the last 7 months. This little bus we had, the suspension is good. It's hard to drive. It's hard to ride in. Our seniors are not very comfortable with them riding in. We started a new Bible study in Mariposa right down the street. And we're going to be doing that. We had 23 passes. 23 people out there. And we're going to start picking up some of the rest of us there. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, easy time. So the people had a 2018 bus that was 1,600 miles on it. The price was going to be $72,000. And they marked it down to $56,000 for our church. We looked it up, it's a good price. And they're going to give us $9,500 for that bus we have out there. So that tells me, for the money we receive, that's this, for the money we receive, it's going to pay off all three models, and it's going to have $25,000 towards that bus. All we're going to need is $25,000
more.
And by the way, if you happen to have a bus out there, if you want to walk on it, you can this morning. But next Sunday, we're going to have a special call business between Elder and above. That's how we do that. You can go to business if you want to. We can send money back to those people. How many of you pay for that? One? Okay. Apparently, you didn't want the first option where we send it back. Send them home. That's the first option. Let's just send them home, Lord. We can get them. Let's just send them home. We don't need to take care of these people. That's how some people approach the church. We don't need to take care of people. It's all about me. Folks, this isn't church isn't about that. It's about what happens outside the doors of the church. That's why we're going to start a 4-week news club this year. And we're going to go to the elementary schools and we're teaching the Bible in elementary schools in Joshua. We're going to go to school this year. That's what we're feeding by. We're going to be at 500 children's school supplies and new pair of shoes in the middle of August, the first August there. And you can be a part of that. Come and join us August 10th and 11th. That's why we're doing what we're doing, folks. And here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to pray about this. Next Sunday in the bulletin, I'm not asking you to sign anything. I never have asked you to sign anything since I've been here. The next Sunday in the bulletin, there's going to be a form there, and you can say, Brother Jerry, I believe this is what God wants to do after we vote on it. If we vote on it, it passes. And I can give this amount of money in the next 10 months. And by the way, our church at the end of June had $73,000 in our general fund. So I don't think we ought to go out and borrow the money. I think we ought to loan ourselves the money.
We are a lender,
fellas. Because by the way, that's zero interest.
Amen.
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 I don't know if I shut up or not. And then, I think in the next 10 months, we can raise $25,000. Some people can get money right away. Some people, guess this, listen to me. I want you to hear this. Some people can get $10 a month for the next 10 months, $10. That's all you can do. We're not asking for equal gift less than for equal sacrifice. And by the way, if you're busy today, you say, if you talk about money all the time and ain't worried about the church, I tell you this money, absolutely not. And the church people will tell you that here. I preach once a year on how to get out of budget time. Because I believe it's good for it. And I got into the whole council about it. Amen? Some of you are getting a lot of blessing. God opened up the heaven for a lot of blessing on that. Some of you can do 100 miles. That would be 1,000 in the next 10 months. Some of you can do 50. That's 500. Some of you can do even more. Some of you can write a check for the whole amount.
Amen.
I believe this is what God wants to do in church by faith. And then after we finish this, we're going to go over. We got to take care of the walls over here that we've been having trouble with. We're going to take care of the bathrooms over there that need new partitions, just like you remember here. But we're going to step out by faith. And next Sunday, we'll vote on this. That's how we do it.
Just lay it on your heart.
What God really needs you to do. By the way, it has to be above our tithes and offerings. Because why? Because we got to still take care of the budget. Which, by the way, we have met starting in October. We're going to meet budget by about the middle of September, right? Because people have been faithful to God. Did you pray about this? What God had to do? But really, what I want you to know today is that God can take your living to be nice. I ran across this week. I like to do studies of hymns. I don't know about you. But there's a lady who used to write hymns. She's probably called, she is called the Queen of American Hymn Writers. Her name is Annie Crosby. You ever heard about Annie Crosby? She was blind, by the way. Blind. But she wrote over 8,000 hymns. Many of them we find in our hymn book. How about to God be the glory? How about praise Him, praise Him? How about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? How about all the way my Savior leads me? By the way, do you know this lady? She had someone working with her. She could read Braille. She could not read. They worked with her, and she memorized the whole book of Genesis through the book of Deuteronomy. She memorized many of the Psalms in the whole book of Proverbs. She memorized, guess this, all of the four Gospels. You know what? I think Annie, she could have said, I'm blind. I can't do anything.
That's right.
I'm limited. So she gave God what she had, and God used her mightily. And there was a man that they were together in his house, and it was about sunset, he said, I read the story this week. She was visiting a man named Mr. W.H. Dunn, by the way, was his name. She was in his house in Cincinnati, Ohio. The men were talking about the nearness of God, and as the sun was setting, eating together, she went back to her room that she was staying in that house, and she wrote to him, I am thine, Lord. I have heard thy voice. And he told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be close to draw me to thee. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And that's exactly what I'm asking some people today to do. I'm asking you, in a moment, we're going to have meditation. I'm asking you to take a step of faith and come out in the hour. Come down and take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I know you're here in my head, but I don't have him in my heart. I believe in Jesus, but he's not here. And today, I want to be that seven. I want to be ready for heaven. I want to have a brand new start. I want to have every sin that I've committed up to today be forgiven. Praise God. I invite you to come. Others here today have been visiting our church. And this is where God wants you to be a part. I'm going to invite you to walk out this morning and join this church, be a part of this fellowship, as we continue to live for God. If you want to be a part of our church that's excited about the Lord, you know a lot of churches that are dead's doorknob. If you want to be a part of a church that's excited about the Lord, reaching out beyond the walls, I invite you to come be a part of our fellowship. But I really believe there's a lot of people here today that are measuring your situation by your resources. And you need a divine touch from God. Maybe a healing touch. Maybe a financial touch. Maybe a family touch. But I'm encouraging you, don't measure the situation by your resources. Give God the little that you have and he can turn you much. And he'll even give you more than you could ever say. That's the word of God. I don't know about you, I'm thankful for Annie Crosby. It did not let her blindness keep her from being glory to God. Let's sing. Father, I thank you for your word.